97.5, The Fanatic.
2 p.m., 97.5, The Fanatic. Rob, Monty, and Joe Stazak live from beautiful New Park's Casino and Sportsbook. Watch the games here. Place your bets. Great food and great drinks. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Joe, you're sampling some of that food. I'm sampling some of that Parks Casino bottled water.
Outstanding.
Right now, and taking a look at these high-definition video wall TVs, 156 feet. You got everything going on over there. We got the Sixers in the midst of the All-Star break. You got the three-point contest tonight. You got the slam dunk. I'm interested to see what Dwight Howard, he's in the dunk contest. He's going to power it down, throw some down. I'll pay attention to it. I won't go out of my way to watch it.
I was going to say, you were around back in the day when it was really something.
Yeah,
Jordan,
of course.
Not Muggsy Bogues.
Spud Webb.
Spud Webb, thank you.
Yeah, we had all kinds of.
It was Dominique Wilkins.
Muggsy Bogues was in it. Wasn't he? I thought he was.
Spud Webb won.
Sean Kemp was in it, right? Wasn't he? I remember Dominique. You remember Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
So this, and then, of course, you got the game tomorrow. Different rules, different set of. It's different, and it's an all-star game. I know you and I are both on tomorrow, so we could talk about the game
like
a little bit tomorrow.
No. There's so many different things than it used to be back in the day. Look, the NHL has, like, three different teams that they play, like round robin.
It's weird.
The Pro Bowl has different rules, and the NBA now has a team. It's LeBron's team, and Giannis's
first round pick. His number one pick was Joel.
How about that?
So you got Joel going up against Ben Simmons tomorrow.
They're on
opposite teams. I hope they don't hurt each other. I hope Joel doesn't hurt himself.
Are you happy about Embiid playing in this one?
Not really. I know there's no way you could stop him.
Can't stop him. Cost him 8 games. I don't know. It cost him 8 games.
Last year?
He missed the first 8 games after the All-Star game last year.
Here's the thing. You know they're not going to be playing defense, so you don't have to worry about his hand going up to block somebody and getting hurt. But I do get a little bit of concern with him in that.
Sure.
Overall, with this team, I just look at it. They went into the break on a nice roll. Bottom line is, Joe, they're going to have to win on a road to win. And D and I looked at the remaining 27 games. We came up with 19 wins, 19-8. And if they go 19-8, that'll get them to 54, which is an improvement upon last year. But it may not get them higher than a 5 or a 4. It might not even get them to where they were 2 years ago at 3 and last year at a 3. So I look at this team and I go, at 9-19 on the road, I am very interested to see. I know they're 25-2 at home and they can beat anybody at home. They got some games coming up on the road with Milwaukee next Saturday. Huge game. The Clippers and Lakers first week of March on the road. Two big ones. If they somehow could win two of those three, I'd be stunned because you're talking about a 9-19 road team. But I think that would give you incredible confidence heading into the postseason. If they win one, I'd be happy with that. If they lose all three, it'd just be all the more reason to be concerned about them going into the postseason because they can't beat good teams on the road, that's what you're going to face in the playoffs.
What does it tell you about a team that can't win on the road consistently? Not only consistently, they can barely win on the road, period. 9-19. To me, it tells me you have to be hyper-focused, even more than you are at home, because there's a lot of things to overcome on the road. It's a different atmosphere. You have a different crowd. The other team's jazzed up more than you are. You have to be even more focused than you are at home, and they lack that.
It's a maturity thing. It's not taking it and treating it like a business trip.
Which tells you their two main guys are, I mean, they are kids by definition. They're like 23 and 25, 24 and 25, but there are teams that have guys that age, stars that age, who are mature. And it's a shame, but the two stars on the Sixers, especially the big man, doesn't quite have that maturity yet. There's really no adult in the room, and there's no alpha dog. I mean, who's the alpha dog on the team? Jimmy Butler was last year. He was also the
They hoped that Al Horford would be, but he's not he's now coming off the bench, and it's tough.
Right.
It's tough. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. It's tough to come into that locker room where you have Embiid and Simmons.
Right.
And take over and
Absolutely.
Be that guy. And neither one of them is the leader.
Right.
Simmons is quiet. Embiid is immature, petulant at times.
Yeah.
And you never know what to expect from him day in and day out. They do lack leadership. And this brings me back to the question Jason posed to us, which was a very good one on Twitter. Will Embiid have the time in his career to mature and still be at an elite level? Because he's 25, not 15. And if he doesn't mature now, by the time he grows up, he could be at the tail end
of his career.
How much do we think Joel can be elite for? 3 years? 4 years?
4 years.
4 years? All right, so
maybe five.
If he grows up in 3 or 4 years, he's at the end of it.
He's got to grow up soon.
Exactly. He's got to do it soon. So 610-632-0975. Want to get your thoughts on that. We got away a little bit from the Phillies. We can keep the Phillies going, too, as well. Joe and I are both okay with waiting on the situation with the luxury tax and optimistic somewhat about this team. I don't think they're a division champion yet. But I don't think they're also a fourth-place team guaranteed. I think there's reason for me to be excited. Doug in Pensauken wants to talk Sixers. He's on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Doug?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you, bud?
Hi, Doug.
Good. So, correct me if I'm wrong. If I remember correctly, back in 2011, when we lost in Game 7 to the Celtics in Round 2, we were told that we had to blow the whole thing up and rebuild. So, if I remember correctly, all the buzz was going to be a 2 to 3 year rebuild max. And then this whole thing about trust the process came out, and it dragged on for another couple more years. Now, my question is, last year, we ended up in the same place. It was 7 long years, and Game 7, Round 2 exit. I know it was off an incredible shot, last second shot, but besides the point, I mean, we're back to where we started from, and at what point do we consider the process a failure, and I mean, they keep on going on until we finally win, or can we just like say this is what we are at right now, and we just gotta ride it out, you know? Because look at the way the team is going this year. There's definitely a lot of immaturity and selfishness per se. And I like Brett Brown as a person. You know, he did a lot for the team, just dealing with all losing and sticking it out and gutting it out. And I mean, part of me thinks we need to give him some more time because he's wasted some of his time with all the losing. But at the same time also, if you got your players undermining you in the middle of the season to the press and on the internet, I mean, you just...
Where do you see that?
Undermining?
Yeah, where do you see undermining, Doug?
Well, I read that one story when like Brett Brown said that he was going to, like, you know, I could see him make a 3-point shot a game.
And and he hasn't... It's just, I wouldn't consider Ben undermining him, but I would say that Ben is flat out resisting to...
Isn't that insubordination?
He's not listening to his coach, but, you know...
It's the coach's fault, too? I mean...
You got to demand it.
You got to demand it.
Yeah. But I want to get back to your question or your point, Doug, on the process. I can't call the process a failure because you took a team that was absolutely terrible... And 2 years in a row, you won 50-plus games and made it to the second round of the postseason. If your expectation of the process or the only reason or the only end game would be winning a championship, if that's your only expectation, then yeah, it is a failure. But if your expectation or hope out of that whole process was to build a relevant, competitive basketball team that's a legitimate contender for a number of seasons, then I think it was successful because you got a team that goes into this season as what we thought would be a NBA Finals contender. So we don't know how the season's going to play out, but I can't call it a failure. And Joe, I want to get your thoughts on that. Would you call it a failure? Appreciate the call, Doug. I think you can't call it a failure because they went from terrible to good, relevant postseason 50-plus wins.
I think it's incomplete so far.
That's true.
I mean, I think it's incomplete.
Yeah.
Because they still can win a championship in this era. You know, whenever Embiid and Simmons move on, then it's probably done.
What
I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think it's done at that point. I'm okay with it. I was always okay with it. And I'd much rather see 50-win seasons than we saw back then. the execution wasn't perfect. They acquired so many assets and draft picks and whatnot, high draft picks, and they missed on a few of them.
Oh, they certainly missed on some.
Yeah. Which this team would be in a lot better shape if they had not whiffed, because you not only have to gather the assets and put them together and the draft picks, but you have to execute the picks. You've got to make the right picks. And they hit on a couple, and they missed on a couple, or they'd be very far advanced of where they are right now. But it's still, to me, it's still an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing process.
Well, I know there's a whole maybe cult following of people out there who would support this thought. I wonder how it would have played out if Sam Hinkie stayed here.
I wish he would have.
I really wonder how far along they would be if Sam Hinkie had stayed here.
I fault the Sixers for that.
And the NBA's commissioner, Adam Silver.
The Sixers kind of allowed that to happen.
Yeah, dictating.
They let him dictate.
Which you should never do. That should never be allowed in pro sports.
Ask Scott O'Neill straight up, well, why are you kowtowing to the committee? When he had come in, have meetings with us and lunch, I don't know if you were at that one.
No,
that was before
my time here, yeah.
We were trying to be good guys and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that doesn't win games. What does a good guy help you? How does that help you advance as an organization, as a business entity?
You had put the time in. You got this far.
And now you're going to pull the plug on a guy. Not happy about that.
Matt in Royersford, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
Hey, gentlemen. How we doing today?
Hi, Matt.
Awesome, buddy.
Hey, I want to talk. We're looking at these last 27 games, and the first thing that really pops out at me is that, they've got 8 games against teams above 500, and then the other 19 games are against teams below 500. They have the easiest, the softest schedule of anyone else remaining in the East. And the addition of Glenn Robinson III and Alex Burks is a pure scorer. He's going to be great coming off the bench. They both can make threes. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do in the second half. I think they could go on a 10-game win streak somewhere in the stretch.
I'm with you with the excitement level for this final third of the season. I don't know if you heard Dee was on with me last night for a couple hours before she did a couple on her own, and then she'll be on later on today. She said something to me about Alex Burks that was a little alarming, in that the day he arrived, Sunday, the Chicago game, one, he wanted to not play because he had just taken a red eye and all that stuff, which is fine. But she said his body language and the way he just spoke afterwards about being here, she got the impression he was a guy who did not want to be here.
Who were we talking about?
Alex Burks.
Oh.
You're scaring me with that statement, because he's a great voice for the Sixers. So
absolutely. So
that's,
I mean, I put a lot of
here, but.
And I asked Dee, I said, why do you think that? And she'll be on later and she'll tell you about it. But she said because he went from being like one of the main guys in Golden State to coming here, and now he's an extra piece. He's coming in a rotation guy, and maybe he's concerned about lack of playing time. Now, I don't know. Maybe being here, the culture, the winning.
It's tough to get uprooted, too.
Yeah.
And
he might have been just having a bad day.
Right.
But that was her initial read. And I trust Dee's judgment for sure. And if that's her initial read, like I go, man, I might be a little bit. Might be a little bit not as high on Alex Burks, but for all the reasons you just said, Matt, the schedule, the excitement of the new pieces, Al Horford coming in off the bench, I have reason to think, too, that they can go on a decent run here when they come back.
I think it's really understated. When you look at the starters, you're talking Embiid, Harris, Simmons, Richardson, and Al Horford, although I prefer Al Horford on the bench. They only started 11 games so far this year. And we dealt with the Embiid finger injury. Simmons had that brief injury in December. I mean, this team really hasn't had a full opportunity to really show us what they got. I'm excited. I've been a diehard Sixers fan since the beginning of the process when they were losing 60 games. They're my favorite team. And I think, us as a fan base are a little underappreciative of what we have in front of us. Because at the end of the day, whether they're the 6th seed, the 5th seed, the 4th seed, I don't care what seed they are. They're going to be contenders. That's the bottom line. And with Embiid and Simmons, they're a great 1-2 punch. I think they're one of the best duos in the entire NBA. So I'm excited. I'm happy. I think we're going to make a run.
All right, Matt. Appreciate the call. Love the optimism, man. Love it. And that's rare.
I was going
to be that optimistic.
Right?
But as you look at this schedule, and Dee and I went game by game last night, Joe, you and I will look at it. Brooklyn, Thursday, coming back from the break. They should win that one. Then they go on the road to Milwaukee. I don't envision them beating Milwaukee. So you're 1-1 already. But then you look at this stretch. Atlanta in Philly. You ought to win that game, 2-1. Then you got Cleveland, win that one, 3-1. Knicks, win that one, 4-1. And then it gets a little tough. You got four games on the West Coast, and it starts with Clippers-Lakers.
They lose that game. They lose the Lakers.
So they lose both of those, and then you got Sacramento and Golden State, which you should win.
Should win those.
But I would have hoped that those games would have been mixed in a little bit better. Now if you go 0-2, do you get a little demoralized? We know how this team is on the road. That could go south in a hurry. If that is a 1-3 West Coast trip, that could be a disaster, and that could cost you the 5 seed and might drop you to it. Cost you the 4, and that might drop you to a 6 seed. I look at it like this: if they could somehow go 3-1 in that 4 game stretch, that's an incredible victory to go 3-1. Because then you come back, and then you got the Pistons here, Pacers here, another game, Wizards here, and Toronto here. So then you got 4 straight. So you got 5 games where we got them at 4-1, and then 4 in a row that I think they should go 4-0. Now you got an 8-1 surrounding that stretch in the West Coast. If they somehow go 3-1 in there, and they're 11-2 in that 13, or let's say 10-3 in that 13.
Yeah.
10-3 in that 13 is a very positive.
Sure.
They might make up that game and a half with Miami.
Yeah, they just can't. They have to beat the teams that they should beat. Like that last 4-game road swing. I mean, I know they played Miami and Milwaukee and Boston and weren't competitive in those games, but they lost to the Hawks by 10. Yeah. First one out of the gate.
Yeah, you can't lose that game.
You know, Trae Young scored like 90 points. It was terrible. It was just terrible.
You can't
lose a game like that.
Nah, you can't. You absolutely can't lose that game. And that's the thing. This seeding thing is a big deal. To me, I think you have to get... I'd be concerned with a Miami first-round matchup if it's 4 and the Sixers are 5, because now you don't get the home court.
Don't get the home court.
And Miami's as good as, not as good as the Sixers, but they're very good at home. Sixers are 25-2. I think Miami's got 3 losses at home. I had that up. But Miami's a little bit better than the Sixers on the road.
Got Jimmy.
Right?
Got Jimmy.
And you got the Jimmy factor. They're 22-3 at home. Sixers and Miami are still the only two teams who have a winning overall record but a losing record at home. They're the only two. Miami's 13-16 at home. Sixers are god-awful. I mean, on the road.
On the road.
On the road. And, right. And the Sixers are 9-19. Man, if they were just 500. If they were just 500, they'd be fighting for the 2 seed right now. Let's get Chris in Williamstown. He's on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Yo, Rob. Yo, Joe. What's going on, gentlemen?
Chris. How are you?
Rob, I'm kind of wondering. So I'm going to ask this question, kind of prefaced on something you said a few minutes ago. Would you trade 6 playoff appearances for 1 title? Or would you want 1 title and 6 years of horrible sports?
So it's 1 title and 6 years of horrible sports, or 6 years of near misses?
6 years of, not of competitive but not playoff appearance.
No playoff appearances in those 6 years.
Yeah,
but a title.
Yeah,
I would take the title.
Really? Because that's kind of contradictory to something you said a few minutes ago when you said
it's so hard to get that title.
I understood, but that kind of contradicts something you said. And I'm not trying to call you on the carpet, but
I know what I said. But how's it contradictory? Because the process hasn't ended, and I can't call the process a failure when they're still within the process. So a caller said the process is a failure. I said I can't call it a failure because you took a terrible team and you made them good, and we still have an opportunity to win a championship. So how's it a failure?
Now, grant you traded away people to get players of interest, Jimmy Butler, team, the like. But did you not somewhat destroy the so-called process that was built on, you know, building up guys from within instead of training for guys that are only going to be there for a year or two versus guys for like 8, 9, 10 years like you got with your 2 stars? The only 3 remaining parts I don't know about coaches, but, you know, Brett Brown, Joe, and Ben are the only 3 remaining real big pieces from that process. So in a way, I think the process was kind of over a long time ago. I deemed it a failure because you didn't get that title. You had to go out and hire and bring in guys because what you had wasn't good enough. Now, that's something to Sam Hinkie, too, where I say, I don't know if I would want Sam Hinkie back because you'd be drafting mediocre talent like you did with Michael Carter-Williams and the like. No, I think that they needed to kind of quit the process to get this thing moving, but I still think the process was a failure.
They still have Ben Simmons and they still have Joel Embiid, who are the two biggest main pieces of the process. So, there's always roster turnover. No matter who the team is, there's roster turnover. What you're saying is the team they put on the floor, which year had to win the championship for this process not to be a failure? Which one had to win it? 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they hadn't even been
trade for Jimmy Butler made all these blockbuster moves. Yeah.
But they hadn't made the postseason, and 2 years ago they go from not making it to 50 wins. Chris, appreciate the call, man. I gotta let you go. I appreciate it, Chris. I appreciate the conversation. Thank you. He calls it a failure, Joe. I can't call it a failure yet.
We don't know yet. It's not over.
And you made a great point. You said if Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons is moved, then the process is over.
It's over.
Right? Doesn't mean they still don't make a move and they win the championship.
As long as they're still here, the process is ongoing.
Those are the two main components. But actually, the question of whether or not the process is a failure or a success, what does it all really mean anyway?
Right.
It's just a question that we have.
Did it work?
It doesn't really amount to anything. The bottom line is this team is still competitive enough and talented enough right now to where I don't know if there'll be a first round exit or if they'll get on a roll and get to the NBA's whether it's Eastern Conference Finals or Finals, and it's a very odd position to be in when you're talking about we're in mid-February and it's NBA basketball, because you're usually used to having the Golden States and the dominant teams, and you know you could pretty much say these two teams are ticketed for a conference final and an NBA final. But this year I think it's very wide open in the East. Yeah, Milwaukee looks dominant, but could Milwaukee have a misstep? Could the Sixers, who match up pretty well against Milwaukee, find a way to get on a roll and beat them? I can't. Like, here we are. We're at Parse Casino Sportsbook, right?
Yeah.
I can probably go grab the futures for the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. I couldn't tell you with any degree of certainty which way I would lean. I think it's up in the air.
In terms of the two combatants or the way one who...
The
one
four. Who... The final four.
Okay.
The final four. I think there's... I know out west, I would look at certainly the Lakers. I would look at the Clippers. I would look at Houston. I think there's more, that's a little bit clearer picture. But in the East, I think you could go so many different ways. 610-632-0975. So we could throw that into the conversation too as well with the Phillies. Anything you want to talk about with the Flyers, the Sixers, and how you feel about them coming back from the All-Star break. I have some excitement for them. Joe does too a little bit. But it could go so many different ways. And who do you look at as your final two in the East right now? Because I think it's up for grabs. 610-632-0975. We got some open lines if you want to get in. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. We're live at Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
.230, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak live from beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook, where you can watch the games, place your bets. Great food, great drink. Make sure you download the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 610-632-0975 is the number to get in. Getting a lot of reaction on Twitter to what we've been talking about with the Phillies and the 76ers. A little bit of Sam Hinkie conversation thrown in there. David says with the Phillies, he wants to see a JT Realmuto contract extension. And the rest of it, he doesn't mind the wait-and-see approach. Kind of like we said, Joe, we both were okay with a wait-and-see approach. Let's see what this team can be with Joe Girardi, what this team can be with the new coaching staff, how the injured guys coming back like Andrew McCutchen could help the team, how the additions of Zach Wheeler and Didi Gregorius can help the team. I firmly believe and expect, I'd be disappointed if Bryce Harper didn't have a step, another level to his game. I thought coming in last year in March, a lot of missed a little bit of spring training. There was a lot of upheaval in his life. He was expecting a baby, still finished with really good numbers. I expect him this year to take his game to MVP type levels. I expect Rhys Hoskins to be a better player than he was last year. I don't know that Rhys Hoskins is going to be the guy who first came up and was 15 homers in like 25 games or whatever, but I think he can be better. I think the lineup is deep and strong. Yeah, they do need one more middle of the lineup bopper. Everybody can have that. Everybody can need that or want that. They don't have that right now. I think they can score runs. So you and I are both on board with the wait and see approach, as David just said. He added this about the Sixers. He said, Sam Hinkie set us up with so many assets that we are still competitive despite Colangelo and his collars. If we throw Sam Hinkie's name into the mix, there are so many different ways you can go with Sam Hinkie. He's not here, and the Sixers are what they are. I don't want to get into, was a process a failure or not, because you and I both agree that the process is still ongoing.
Sure.
I look at a team right now, and I don't know how long it's been since you could look at the NBA and go, the East is up for grabs, and the final two teams don't necessarily have to be the one and the two seed. It doesn't have to be Milwaukee and Toronto. It could be Boston. It could be the Sixers. It could be Miami, or it could play and be Milwaukee and one of the others. I don't know right now, Joe. Can you walk over to one of those little kiosks over there where you get to put your wagers in at Parx Casino Sportsbook, or walk over to one of the agents over there and definitively say, with any degree of certainty, I'm going to put my money here on the Eastern Conference Finals?
I'm comfortable at least with one team emerging from the Eastern Conference. It's going to be Milwaukee with me.
One team.
I don't know who they're going to play when you say who they're going to pit themselves against you. But, yeah, I guess Milwaukee's year. I think they're the most complete team. I think they have the best player. I think that last year they took a step, and they had a two-game none-to-none lead over Toronto in the Eastern Finals. They let that slip away. I think they'll learn from it. Toronto's not quite, I mean, nice record, although they've gone on that 14-15-game winning streak, but they don't have Kawhi anymore, so he's out of the picture.
Or Danny Green. Yeah.
I just think it's Milwaukee's year. I think they've improved, and they've matured a little bit. There's a little maturation process going on there, and I think it's their year to get to the finals.
So you would lean strongly towards Milwaukee coming out of the East.
I don't know who they're going to play.
But you don't know who they're going to beat.
That's correct.
And it could be Toronto. It could be Boston. It could be Miami.
Boston.
It could be the Sixers.
Could be Philly.
The thing is with the Sixers, if it's a 4-5, if they end up in a 4-5 seed, that winner would go on to face Milwaukee. So the Sixers would get them in the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
Which everything the Sixers did in the offseason was kind of geared towards matching up with Milwaukee, acquiring especially Al Horford. They had the big dominant win over them on Christmas Day. They lost a couple weeks ago. They're playing them next Saturday. Then they play them again here later in the year. I'm not going to say they're going to beat them, especially without home court, but I think they could push them. They could push them to a limit. And when you push a team to a 6 or 7 game series, and if Joel Embiid decides each game, every game, I'm going to show up, play hard, be all in and prove to Giannis and everyone else that I'm the best big man in the league, then I give him a chance.
The fact that you had to say and qualify it with a big if is discouraging to me. It's depressing to have to think about. Why is it a big if I'm going to be concerned about whether this guy shows up every night? It's the postseason. That's what you play for.
You're right.
This is what you play for. It's what you get paid for. I'm thinking, who's going to show up? Is he going to be sick? Is he going to be disinterested? Is he going to have some kind of nagging injury? You're right. But you are absolutely right, Robbie. It's a big if.
That's the most frustrating thing.
So frustrating. Depressing.
The fact that we can't say, he's going to bring it every night.
Every night.
And if he decides to, then I give them a chance. That is so frustrating.
Like, can you imagine people in Milwaukee saying, well, if the freak shows up every night, is
nobody
there anyone questioning
that.
The
nobody,
freak showing up every
that.
Night? It's a
and,
given.
And when he plays and he brings it, man, I love his game.
He's awesome.
Right?
He's so awesome.
He could be so good, so fun, so entertaining. But yet here we are, and we're questioning whether day in and day out. And we're not talking about regular season. We're talking about, saw it last year, Toronto, postseason. We didn't know. We didn't know 5 minutes before game time if he was even going to play.
That series was so there for the taking.
Oh, easily.
They spit up so many opportunities in that series, especially game four when they could have gone up 3-1. And they go to overtime and Embiid walks.
That was the jinx of Rob Motti, Joe. I covered that game.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. I covered that game. Oh, I'm like, oh, man, here I show up at a Sixers game. Don't bring me back here again for a playoff game.
That was a rough one.
Let's get Jeff and Camden in. He's on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, fellas?
How are you, my man?
Hi, Jeff.
I'm all right. So, I just want to talk a little bit of Sixers here. I'm not questioning Joel Embiid. I'm not questioning him. Young guys, of that talent level, if they can get some solidity within, especially like, Bill Walton, man. Imagine that, he was a phenomenal talent. He never really got healthy enough to sustain a career. So we have modern science. We have things we didn't have before. So, I'm confident they can roll with that. Joshua Harris is a smart owner. I mean, evidently he's a smart owner. I've never seen this before. I mean, the owner of the Devils and the Sixers. That's a weird, weird thing. I mean, you're in the building of your enemies.
So that's a rich owner.
You have a strange dynamic here in this sports area that keeps the fans interested. It just constantly keeps the fans interested. I'm interested. Everybody all over the globe is actually watching it. If you read the social media and the internet and stuff like that, Philly's a fascinating place for sports.
Especially, and the Sixers are a very entertaining team, and they are a team that captures a lot of people's attention for sure. But Jeff, let me push back a little bit on this. You say you don't have any questions about Joel Embiid. Do you feel with any degree of confidence, a strong confidence, that day in and day out, you're going to get his max effort?
That depends on him. That's what we're saying.
That's exactly what we're saying. We don't know.
When I was doing this, I had to push through a lot of things. There was times where my body wouldn't hold up, and I would be on the concrete just punching my fists and kicking my legs into the ground in frustration. But here I am at 39 years old, the healthiest I've ever been in my life. I'm faster. I can sprint faster. My wind is better. I box now, and I can put the pressure on somebody cardio-wise that can break anybody down in the ring, and that's including heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder, who I will see in the future.
You a boxer, Jeff? Were you a boxer?
Well, you got to come down to the Battleship, New Jersey, my man, and check me out this spring and this summer. That's where I'll be fighting at.
I got you, man. I like that.
That's where the legal fighting career is going to begin. But I put the pressure on people, and I owe that to people like Roy Jones Jr., people like Bernard Hopkins, the Eastern Assassin, Larry Holmes, Floyd Mayweather, Rocky Marciano, Muhammad Ali. Man, it's countless, and especially Joe Frazier, because the first gym I come out of is Frazier's place over there.
Well, Jeff, I got more confidence in you than I got confidence in Joel Embiid, man. I appreciate the call, all right?
Thanks, man. I'll talk to you again.
You got it. man, he's got me wanting to run through a wall
a little bit, right?
I'm in.
I'm all jacked up now. I'm all jazzed.
I was eyeing up some of those fries. Now I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to lay off, man. I'm going to lay off. 610-632-0975. We're talking Sixers, some Phils, some Flyers. Brian, hang on. We'll get to you next. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. We're live at Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. B75 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 975 The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak. We're live from the beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook, where you can watch the games, place your bets, great food, and great drink. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In case you don't know where Parks Casino Sportsbook is located, right off of the Street Road exit off 95 and the PA Turnpike. You do have to be 21, but this is an incredible space here. I believe it's 7,500 square foot space. You got a 156 foot high definition video wall. They can actually show you 36 games at once, and it's just a phenomenal space. You can really get lost in the day here and just hang out, watch some games. And right now, I'm looking up here, and I'm just checking out what they have on the screens, and I'm going, I don't know why. I know why. It's because I worked during the NFL season, but I've never been here during NFL season to take in these games. But I'll tell you what, man, you don't even have to wait. I can't imagine what it's going to be like March Madness, Joe.
Incredible.
Right?
Oh, incredible.
That's going to be, I mean, people taking days off and coming in here and
that's phenomenal
just hanging out
stuff.
For a couple days. I'm always at spring training, so I've never really get to do that. One year, my buddies came down, and we just went out in Clearwater Beach, and just hung out and watched the games all day. And, you know, you get the spots, and you're just, it's fun, man. It's fun, but this place will be incredible then. 610-632-0975 is how you get in with Joe and I today. Talk about the Sixers, some Phillies conversation, whether you're waiting on them to spend the money patiently like Joe and I, willing to see, wait it out. It's okay. I think they got the talent. Or if you're waiting for them to be good and win before you spend your money, which we've heard from a lot of people, and I can't fault you one bit for feeling that way. And as far as the Sixers are concerned, so much on the table that we've been discussing. We're hopeful that these changes, that the roster shuffling, that the lineup changes, that the way they carried themselves towards the All-Star break and won those three games all at home, beat the Clippers, a very impressive win against a team that was on the tail end of their road trip, and then they went in Boston and lost in double overtime, that they can carry that momentum over. So I'm excited to see that. But the one big if both Joe and I have and a lot of other people have is when it comes to your two stars playing like superstars, I have more confidence in Ben showing up night in and night out. He may not shoot ever, but I have more confidence in him coming to play and putting in the work and putting in the effort and never letting up. But when it comes to Joel Embiid, he's always a big if for me, and he's a big if for you. Let's hear what Brian in South Jersey has to say. He's on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. And I would agree with your assessment of Joe and Ben. I mean, this has been such a frustrating season. I mean, to the point where, you know, I mean, I'm thinking back to some of those process years, and they were a more fun team to watch. You know, I mean, some of the losses this season have been so frustrating. And the problem is, now, having said all that, and I was never a fan of Brett Brown, so I'll just put that out there up front as well. But having said all that, I do believe I'm optimistic just because when they play, you know, when Joel and when Ben and as a team they decide to play, they can beat anybody. I mean, they have a lot of talent on the team. And you've seen that. I mean, they beat the Lakers. They beat the Clippers. They've beaten the Bucks. they've beaten anybody. It's just that when are they willing to come and put together a a complete game? That's the frustrating part about the team.
That is so frustrating, because exactly what you just said, Brian, they've done it, we've seen it, and it's somewhat of a tease because, all right, we know when they play to their capabilities, when they play to their potential, when they decide to show up and play like a team and put in that work and put in that effort, like you said, they've done it, they can beat anybody. But for us to sit back here, February 15, 27 games left in a regular season, four years into Joel, and not know night in and night out what he's going to do, what he's going to give you, that's so disheartening.
Do you guys think that's a product of the maybe tuning out the coach? I mean, again, I don't want to get a lot into Brett Brown not being the guy and whatnot, but for a superstar player like Joel, where you can't depend on him night in and night out, is that a project of the coach, or is it just him not being that alpha male that we thought he was?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's both of those things you're saying. I don't think he's the alpha male we thought he was. Maybe he could be at some point. I don't know. Right now he's not. And I have to put the hammer on the coach a little bit for this one as well. As well as, and I'll ask you this, Robbie, too. I'll throw it out to both you guys. Ben Simmons, to get better, he needs to improve or expand his game. Would you both agree? And by doing that, we would probably incorporate some sort of shooting.
Yeah. I think he's very good.
Oh, he's very good.
And sometimes dominant.
Very good at what he does.
But to be elite,
very good
he
at
needs
what he
to
does.
Shoot.
He needs to expand his game. Well, I know that. You know that. The caller knows
that.
Yeah,
and
I
agree too. Yeah,
the coach knows
I think
that. Why is he allowed to not shoot? Why is he allowed to not shoot?
And Brian, appreciate the call.
Thanks, Brian. I'll answer
that for you.
Why is he being allowed to not shoot?
That's the question, Joe. Unanswered question.
Brett Brown talked about all the plays he was going to run for him and all the three pointers he was going to take.
That is the unanswered question that we just don't know, because we go, is that a product of the coach? Is that, and to get back to what Brian said, you put it on both Brett a little bit and Joe. I put more of the blame on Joel when it comes to whether or not he shows up day in and day out.
Absolutely.
Like, you got to have that within, right?
Self-motivated.
And if you need a coach to motivate you, maybe that'll work 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. But to do that 82 games and a postseason, you'll never be that guy if you have to rely on somebody else to do it, right? And that, to me, is the big, big concern. Let's get to our guy, Mitch, in East Windsor. You're up on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, Rob, Joe. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Mitch.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, okay. At least Joel's not afraid to shoot. You got to like my dad, you know. He's going to be 100%. He's gone through quite a few injuries in his career. Ben, I think, I don't know, but I'd rather have some other point guards. Any chance the Sixers maybe bring back Burks? Is there somebody else on the G League? No, I think there's one guy. I know he's not.
You mean Trey Burke?
Yeah, Trey Burke, right?
I don't think so, Mitch. I think this is what they're going to roll with. I don't know that they're going to do anything else. I think what they're going to look at is how are they going to incorporate the little dog, Glenn Robinson III, and Alec Burks into the rotation. They're pretty deep now. Like, at this point, Mike Scott goes from being like a sixth man, seventh man, to being eighth, ninth on the rotation. You know, now you got Firk, and you know, you it's a pretty deep team. It really is. It's just a matter. Yeah,
the starting lineup is pretty good. I mean, they should be doing better than they are. I mean, you got the Tobias Harris, then you also have Josh. But I know two other guys. Any I wanted this guy, DeAnthony Melton, to stick with Memphis. I like the young guy. He left after 1 year, had a little money trouble at USC. 6'2", hybrid guard. And how this guy's ever going to be heard from again? Diamond Stone. He left after one semester, one year really, technically.
What's his name?
Maryland. Diamond Stone. He was like a center. Got drafted by the Clippers. He's just been on G League all this.
I got to look that up. I'll take a look, Mitch, during a break. And I'll let you know. All right, I appreciate
Thanks for
appreciate the call, man, as always. Judd, there's somebody's winning money over there, man.
About
he's
that,
fired
huh?
up, someone's man. Killing it. Somebody's
good
killing
Saturday
it.
Saturday afternoon. Good Saturday afternoon.
I like
afternoon
that. Get
February.
The get cash in. Cash those tickets. Win.
We got XFL up there.
We got XFL. We got wow. some college. Who's playing in that game? NY, New York. You got the New York Guardians, and they're playing against the DC Defenders.
Oh, Defenders are loaded this year.
He got a 9-0 game. Defenders are winning, defending their home turf right now. What quarter is that? Third quarter?
It is the
second quarter?
Second quarter. 8 minutes left, 9 minutes left in the game.
I talked to their commissioner, Oliver Luck, at the...
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the commissioner of the XFL told me all about the rule changes, the excitement. I didn't see Vince McMahon, though. He wasn't around.
Oh, where yeah, was he?
Oh, man. Vince is, like, taking a low profile.
You're fired!
610-632-0975. We got open lines to get in on anything you want to talk about with the Sixers, Phillies, and Flyers. He's Joe Stazek. I'm Rob Motti. We're live at Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Rob Motti and Joe Stazak taking you up until Lightning Flyers, and we are live from the beautiful New Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Watch the games, place your bets, get some great food, great drinks here. Make sure you download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 610-632-0975 is how you get in to have a conversation with Joe and I. We started out talking a little Phils today, moved over to some Sixers. We got the Flyers. Joe, we put it out there with the Flyers, and we're taking them up until Lightning Flyers hockey. Now, they had two nice wins this week, both over Florida, a home-and-home sandwiched around a loss to the New York Islanders. And right now, as it stands with this hockey team, the Flyers are the leader in the wild card standings with a game in hand over Columbus. They're both tied at 71 points. They're 1 point behind the Isles, who are third in the Metropolitan Division. They're 5 points behind Pittsburgh. However, the Flyers have played two more games than both of those teams. When you look at this team, young, talented, I think we all agree, Alain Vigneault, their head coach, is the right fit. We like this guy. We like his winning resume, his pedigree. We talk about Joe Girardi.
Sure.
He's also a winner. We like what he's doing here. They're probably a little bit of a year or two maybe away, maybe 2 years away from being what we call a serious Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, that's about right.
Hoping the young talent pans out. But if there's any sport that we have seen where a team can just get in, whether they're a wild card, a 7-8 seed, a low seed, you don't have to be a top team. It's in hockey. And you don't have to look any further than St. Louis last year. You yeah. get in, you get hot, you get a goalie in Carter Hart who can steal games for you. You have an infusion of young talent who doesn't really have anything to lose, right? And those are teams that you can get behind, you can get excited about, and they can get on a roll in the playoffs. Now, they got to get in. They're not in yet. They're leading, but there's a whole bunch of games left. They're at 24 games left in the season. They could potentially drop out of the wild card spot. They could drop out of the playoffs. They can move up a little bit. What is your overall assessment of this hockey team?
Getting better. Play better when the chips are down. They play better. They play to the level of their competition in a positive way. They play much better against the, whereas the Sixers are like 1-14 against teams above 500 or more. The Flyers are like 10-3-2 against the top six teams in the league. They have a very good record against very good teams. Their record all of the second of back-to-backs, the back end, very good. So I think they're well coached. They still lack the sniper that you see. But not everyone needs a sniper. St. Louis didn't really have a sniper last year. It helps to have one of those 40-goal scorers, 45-goal scorers. They haven't had that since John LeClair. And they need a big stick on the blue line, a big stick. I mean, Shane Gostisbehere has disappeared. Yeah, he was like the rookie of the year 4 years ago. They've lost him. They've brought some other guys
up. He's been a disappointment.
Disappointments. Can't do anything well anymore. I don't even know where to use him. Some of the other young defensive talents coming along. You have Carter Hart in the mix, who's going to be your goaltender for many years to come. It's a team that's getting better. And I love the coach. I think they had to make a move. I think he's a pedigree guy, like you say, and I think that there's some promise in this team. It's not just one of those years where they're just floundering around. Maybe they'll get in, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll get in and play the Capitals and be out in five games. I think this team could possibly win a playoff series if they get in, if they continue to play at the level they're playing at now. They're playing with high intensity and effort and focus every night now. It's not like you see them when you've seen them in the past where they're inconsistent and... Case in point, they lost that game to the Devils 5-0 a few nights ago on a Thursday, and they came back and won in Washington the next two nights later, and they have been consistent since. You know, but that's the kind of team they were before, like a couple weeks ago. They would lose that game to the Devils, shut out at home for no reason whatsoever. But now they've started to kind of minimize those games, beat the teams they should be able to beat, and hang with the teams that are the elite teams in the league. So I like where they're going.
Yeah, it's not a season where we can say this is a team that's going to get in and go deep.
Probably not.
But it's a reason for hope and excitement with this team because they're young, they're on the rise, it looks like they're headed in the right direction, and they have in hockey... what is set up to be, there's always upsets. There's always teams knocking off teams. You have Tampa Bay, who they're playing today, who last year, had the best record in hockey, and they got
one of the best records of all time.
Of all time, they were challenging for that. And Josh just put up a great stat. This Flyers team this year, we talk about the Sixers not being successful on the road. Flyers are 3-0 against the top four teams in the NHL on the road. And today's the first time they're playing Tampa on the road. And while I don't expect them, if they come away, you know, we talk about the point. You come away with a point out of this one, man, that's a reason to be positive.
They're undefeated against the Caps this year. 2-0-1 against the Caps. Hockey's a sport where, almost like no other, you can win a cup from wherever you are seated. It's possible. It's not like you're out of it if you're an 8-seed or a 7-seed. The Flyers went to the finals as a 7-seed in 2010. 2012, the Kings were an 8-seed. They go on to win the whole thing. They win one 2 years later with good talent, but not they weren't elite. It's Carter and Richards and that team, Simone Gagné, but good goaltending. You can advance from wherever you are in hockey more than any other sport. As long as you're in, you have a chance to do some things in the playoffs because teams get knocked out. There are so many upsets in hockey, like you say, like Tampa Bay. It's inexplicable how they lose four straight games. Four straight.
It's crazy.
It's not like they lost in seven games in double overtime. They got cleaned last year. They were... Tampa was up like 2 goals in the first game, 2 goals in the second game. Both games, Blue Jackets came back 1 in overtime. And then they dominated the last two, and that was it for Tampa Bay. You know, you'll see a lot of that in the postseason. You'll see a lot of teams that just kind of tank or teams that come out of nowhere. And I'm not saying the Flyers are going to be one of those teams, but it could be a year where you could see some things happen. You could see some things happen. I'm not counting on it, but it is a team that has strong goaltending and real good goaltending when it counts, and they play to their competition from a positive standpoint.
They're trending upward.
Trending upward.
And that is definitely reason to be excited about this team. The trade deadline coming up. February 24th, so we'll see what kind of moves they make. So if you want to talk Flyers, get in on all the Sixers conversation we've been having today. The thought of Joel Embiid being the big if. The big if for this team.
What's the big if? Is that like...
Right?
Is that like the big... is that going to be his nickname now, the big if?
I think so.
The big if.
I'm going to give him that name. To me, Joe is the big if.
That's good.
I'm going to refer it because if Joe shows up and wants to play... Man, his team, sky's the limit.
Yep.
If Joel shows up and he's not feeling it that day, well, this team's chances
are not going.
So
that's it.
We've given him the name. Joel Embiid is the big if.
The big if.
He will be forever known as that until they win with Joel Embiid. 610-632-0975. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Rob Motti. We're live at Parks Casino Sportsbook, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.